Welcome back to another episode of Single Mama Minimal Drama. It is me, your host Kendra, and today I am by myself. But if you follow me on Instagram, either on my personal page or on the SMMD podcast page, you might have seen in my story that I posted, ask me anything and I'll answer it on the podcast. So we have a couple questions that we're going to answer today. So today is questions with Kendra, possibly a little advice. I give fake life advice, not real life advice. My first piece of advice before I get into these questions, is for the ladies. Ladies, if he has a problem with you going to the gym, he is the problem. He is the problem. At no point should your man be like, no, I don't want you to go to the gym because everybody who goes to the gym is looking for something. No, we're going to the gym because we want to be healthy. We're going to the gym because we want to live long lives. We're going to the gym because we want to be able to walk up the stairs and breathe. We're going to the gym because we want to go to the gym. There is nothing unhealthy about you going to the gym, and you should be able to do that in a healthy relationship. So let's get into these questions. The first question was from the podcast page. And honestly, the people on the podcast page, y'all asked really good questions. People on my personal page who asked the questions y'all asked, grow up. So on the podcast page, the first question says, did you file yourself or did you use an attorney? So when we decided we were going to go through with getting a divorce, we attempted to use LegalZoom, at first, but with LegalZoom and what, and maybe I just skipped over it cause I was trying to get stuff done, or maybe they didn't tell me on there. They basically charge you a fee. I think we paid like $500. And you fill out the paperwork or you fill it in on their website and then you submit it or whatever, but you have to like print it off and you have to take it down to the courthouse. So the paperwork that is on there that they have you fill out is paperwork you can get from the courthouse for free. So I would not suggest doing that. So after we did that, but we didn't turn it in the right way, we tried to, well, my ex had his lawyer draw up some paperwork. Some things got misconstrued and he, you know, wanted to reconcile, which means, so if the person who files wants to reconcile, they can pull it back at any time. I did not want to reconcile. So after that, I went and got an attorney. I used Jaffe Law, which is here in Georgia. And they did all of my stuff for me. I paid them about $1,750 and they did everything, all the paperwork. All I had to do was sign things when they told me to sign them, get him to sign things when they told me to sign them in front of a notary, get things notarized, send them back. Now we had to file in DeKalb, which took forever. The paperwork had been turned in for probably about 6 or 7 months. It took almost a year for DeKalb to get to it and get it in front of a judge or whatever and sign, but we didn't end up having to go to court. So we didn't have to go to court. Another part of the divorce process, because we had kids, is in Georgia, you have to do like a parenting class. And it's usually, I think it was like a 4-hour class that we both ended up having to do, just to talk about, they talk to you about custody agreements. They talk to you about helping guide you and your kids through all of this and all of that stuff. And then you have to get a certificate that has to be a part of your divorce paperwork that you turn in. So I never would have known that had I kept trying to do LegalZoom. And then when you file yourself, you have to serve somebody, from my understanding. So I was just happy to do it with an attorney. The process was very easy. So like, I guess this is a plug to Jaffe Law, J-A-F-F-E Law. If you're looking for an attorney for custody or divorce, or I think they do a couple other things also, but that's who I used. It was recommended to me by a friend and it was really, really easy. It was good. I didn't have to worry about anything. They kept in contact with me. Anytime I had questions, they answered my questions. And that's how we ended up filing, and that's how we ended up getting everything together. So the next question is, what was the most challenging thing about your divorce? I think the most challenging thing was probably just figuring out the, like, how we were going to do the custody with the kids. Like, we were doing this weird thing when we first started where they would spend one half of the week with one parent and one half of the week with the other parent. Because, like I said, we do the 50-50 joint custody. But that wasn't really working. So then we switched to, it's not that it wasn't working. It was just super hectic for the kids. So what we did was we switched to having them stay with one parent for 1 week and one parent for the other week. And that was a lot easier, especially when it came to like their soccer practices and all of that stuff. And doing all those things, it made it a lot easier for us. But like recently, we had to switch again because just school gets very hectic. So like they'll spend the majority of the time with me during the week because I'm around to do schoolwork and stuff like that just because of the type of job that their dad has. I'm around to do schoolwork with them every day of the week. And then they go with him on the weekends and then the summers. So the hardest part was definitely custody. I feel like it's forever changing. It's always moving around. It's never like staying the same. One thing I will say though is that as of right now, their dad and I work really well in a partnership where even though they're with me during the week, if I was like, hey, can you get them this day or whatever, he'll pick them up if he can. He doesn't mind. And so like he's gonna probably, well, he'll be picking them up a lot more, taking them to practice and stuff after school, whatever. But he doesn't mind doing all of that. And I really don't mind if they go with him for a couple hours and do the practice and I can finish doing stuff at work or whatever. So we do a really good job of working as a team as of right now. So, but that custody part is ever changing. And that was the hardest part of the divorce. Everything else was pretty easy. It wasn't hard to do the whole moving apart, separating part. That part, I didn't feel like, at least for me, I didn't feel like was the challenge. I felt like the challenge was definitely the custody part for the kids. Cause I wanted them to have some stability, even though it was a very unstable time. But I wanted them to have something that was stable. So custody was the challenge. It was definitely, it still is always the challenge. Let's see. The next question was, what are you listening to lately? So I have a bunch of playlists that I make on Apple Music. If you know me and you're listening and you know me from 2005 to 2008 Kendra, if you know that version of Kendra, you know that Kendra was burning CDs. I was downloading LimeWire to my mom's computer, putting viruses on her computer to burn CDs for me and my friends, and put music on my little iPad, my MP3 iPod. I had the little purple iPod and the MP3 player. So I love making playlists now. So that's all I do. So recently, I have been listening to my Vibe and Drive playlist the most. This is what it looks like. I don't know if you can zoom in on that or what, but that's the playlist. I'll let him take care of that in editing. but that's the playlist, Vibe and Drive. I think it's open to the public, so if you want to look for it on Apple Music, it's got this like cool picture of this, I don't know what kind of car that is, but driving down the highway. And it's got like, it's basically kind of neo soul-ish, R&B really. R&B like new age though. It doesn't have a lot of older R&B. It's a lot of new age kind of R&B songs. It's just a chill little vibe and drive. One of my homeboys listened to it and he was like, I really am vibing and driving and then listening to this playlist. And I was like, yeah, it's a nice little, like, I like to listen to it in the car. I like to listen to it at home. It plays all my favorite songs, and that's what I want to listen to. I also have another playlist that I listen to a lot. It's called Airplane Mode. This is the Airplane Mode playlist. And that one is not as mellow. It does have a little more hip hop in it, and R&B. So that one you'll hear a little more of a mix of music than the other one. But it's just like airplane mode. Like, I want to turn the phone on airplane mode and this is what I want to listen to. Or I want to listen to this while I'm actually on the airplane. This is one of the ones I like to listen to when I'm walking like through the airport. So it has a bunch of different kinds of songs. It has R&B, hip hop, and even a little, I don't know if this is considered rock or pop. I think maybe it's considered pop. I don't know if anybody listens and they're listening to this and they listen to softcore or they listen to The Neighborhood, the song called Softcore. I don't know what genre that is. Let me see if it'll tell me. I don't think it'll tell me the genre of that song. No, it doesn't tell you the genre, but it has that on there. And when I'm in the gym, I have this playlist that I did not make this one. Now, this one I found on Apple Music. It's called hashtag Gym Flow. This is another one. This is all rap. Okay. This is all rap. There's nothing else on there but rap. It's all rap. But it helps me get through those workouts. Really, really good. A great podcast. I send it to all my friends when they come to work out with me at the gym, or I do share play with them, and that's what we listen to. And then lastly, I like to listen to my oldies playlist. And that one I have updated 3 days ago. That one has a lot of the old school 90s R&B on it, 90s pop, things like that. And even some things that are before the 90s. I say 80s to 90s. But I love to listen to that one. That one just gets me in a good mood. And if I'm waking up to clean up something, this is what I'm listening to while I'm cleaning. So if that gives you, if you understand those vibes, that's the vibes that that one is. But yeah, if you find me on Apple, on Apple Music, you'll see all my little playlists that are open to the public. And I try to go through and like make sure none of the songs are overlapping on there, so that when we're listening to one playlist, we don't hear the same song that we heard in the other playlist. Because I will do that sometimes because I like a song so much, but I have to just, lately I just tell myself like, girl, just go listen to the playlist that the song is in. You don't have to put it on every playlist. But yeah, that's what I listen to. I think one of my favorite songs off of the Vibe and Drive playlist right now is, I like Sailor Moon by this artist called Laya, L-A-Y-A. I like her song, Sailor Moon. But on this playlist, there's this song called OMW that I really love. It's by Tonio Hall, and that's one of my favorites. And then Moonlight by Kali Uchis. I love that one. And After Hours by this guy named Avinoir. I love that song. I will play that song over and over again and just keep it on repeat. I love that song. So those are some of my favorites off of here right now. All of these songs have been my favorite at a point. Like Too Deep on here by Division was one of my favorites for a very, very long time. But I love the songs on this playlist, so I listen to it a lot. It's not a sad playlist for me, but for some people maybe they would consider it kind of sad, but it's not. I really love the songs on there. Let's see what the next question was. Oh, this was a good question. Somebody asked, how did y'all explain to the brothers about the new transition? So obviously the person who wrote that knows me, because I call Sam and Weston the brothers when I'm referring to them in conversation. But ideally, when we first decided we were going to get divorced, what I wanted to do was I wanted both of us to talk to them about it at the same time and tell them what was going on. But that is not how things happened. You know, they say you have your plan and then God has his plan. Okay. But that's not how that happened. What happened was, or how they kind of found out that we weren't living together anymore and we weren't going to be married anymore. From what I can remember, they had spent some time with their dad. And when they came back, I remember Sam saying to me, like, so you and dad aren't going to be married anymore. And he was so upset with me. And like, he started crying and he was just upset. And Weston was still pretty young when it all happened. But I, so he didn't really react to what was going on. And I would say Weston still hasn't really reacted to what was going on. But Weston was 3 when we got divorced, I think. And Sam was 5. So Sam did have a little bit of a better understanding of what was going on. So his feelings were hurt. And he was very sad, but I just remember him getting out of the car and be like, you're not living with my dad. You're not married to my dad anymore. And he just started crying and he was mad. He was mad at me. And like, if you listen to last week's episode, we talked about how we try to protect our children by not saying certain things about the other person or doing whatever. So like for me in that time, I just cared so much about not painting a bad image of their dad to them, because that is their dad at the end of the day. And I want them to be able to respect him and to still, you know, go over there, have a good time with him when they're there, do all those things. So like, I was just like, I think it would have been better if we both would have sat down and talked to them and said that, but it was explained to him without me being there. And I don't know how it was explained. But after that, I had to talk to him about it and let him know, you know, that it's okay. Like, we're still a family. We're just a different type of family now. And we don't live together, but you still have me and you still have your dad and you still have his side of the family. And you still have my side of the family. It's just different. So that's really how it got explained. It wasn't a good moment. It wasn't like a kumbaya moment where we both sat down with them and had a mature conversation with them. But that's how it got explained. And I mean, if I would have went back in time, I still would have tried to explain it how I wanted to explain it to them, with me and their dad explaining it to them at the same time. But during these types of situations, I guess when you're going through divorce, everybody moves differently when they're going through traumatic life events. Some people seem to move with grace in the public eye and some people don't. And your feelings being caught up in all of that makes it even worse on top of it. So I don't fault whoever told them that we were getting divorced and we weren't going to live together for telling them how they told them. But I just would have preferred to have done it the way that I wanted to do. But that is how it got explained to them. And I have still, I think even still to this day, Sam still asks me a lot of questions about it. And I still just talk to him and talk him through it because he's going to have questions about it. And I want to make sure that I'm not like shutting him down or making him feel like he can't ask those questions, because he should, because this is his family too. So I allow him to ask his questions, and if I can think of a great way to explain it, I'll do that. And if I am struggling, then I will still try to explain it. But if he, usually I'm pretty good at explaining it to the point where he's like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm going to go play my tablet. Like, but it just sometimes randomly comes. So it's like very similar to grief. It comes in waves. And sometimes, most of the time, he's not thinking about it anymore. But when he does bring it up, I do talk to him about it, just for him to talk about it. Weston still doesn't really talk about it. Again, he was young. And like they say, or somebody said to me when we were going through this, the younger your kids are when you, if you get divorced or if you separate, the better it'll be for them. They say like the longer, so this is what somebody said to me, the longer you wait, the more challenging it'll be for them. So the older your kids get, the more challenging it is for them to watch you go through a divorce and all of that stuff. So I'm thankful that it happened while they were youngish and not now, because I couldn't imagine it happening now when Sam is 7 and Weston is 5 and everybody would have been just a hot mess. So let's see. The next question: what inspired you to start a podcast? So this is my second podcast, technically kind of my third. I have a podcast called, and I say I have because it still exists and it will be coming back. A podcast called Hidden Gems. That podcast started off as a podcast about entrepreneurs and their journey to entrepreneurship. And so I would bring on people who own small businesses and all of that. And we would talk about how they got started, how they got this, how they did that. Because I, at the time when I started that one, I was also having my waste bee business. For those of you who know about that, I think I was just inspired because I love to listen to podcasts so much. I used to listen to this Harry Potter podcast that it was really funny to me because there was this guy and he had never read Harry Potter until he became an adult. So like he would read it and then him and his friends would get on there and talk about it. And I thought it was hilarious. I think it was it Potterhead? I don't think it goes on anymore because I don't ever see it in my podcast log anymore. But I used to listen to that one and I used to listen to a couple other podcasts and just audiobooks. And I was just like, I think I want to start one. And I think I want to talk about small business and entrepreneurship because I realized in my journey to entrepreneurship that there were a lot of resources and things out here for people to access. But there were also a lot of things that people just weren't talking about. And a lot of times I think that in that industry, on the internet, it can make it seem like things happen for people overnight. So I wanted my podcast to kind of log that and document that it didn't happen overnight. It's never going to happen overnight. And also to hear other people say things like that as well. Like it took me 3 years to do this and I almost quit, but then that last 6 months of that third year I pushed really hard and it all just started to fall into place. I think it's important for people to understand that things in life, anything that you're working hard towards, there's a process, and just to really try your best to enjoy the process while things are going, while the things are in process, and not, yes, always focus on the larger picture, but don't be so focused on the larger picture that you don't enjoy the steps or that you don't take the time to recognize like this is happening. This is how I can help this person also, because you want people to learn from your mistakes as much as they can so that they can also succeed in whatever they're going to do. So for me, I was just inspired to start my first podcast because I wanted to help inspire other people to keep pushing with their small businesses and to keep moving. I had another podcast that was similar to Single Mom Minimal Drama. It was one that I did with a friend of mine. It was called Wait, What Just Happened? And we just used to kind of get on there and talk about anything, whatever we wanted to talk about. And we just kind of fell away from that. It's kind of hard to schedule sometimes when you have somebody who's like a co-host and that's your thing. And y'all are supposed to be doing it all the time. So we just kind of fell off from that one. And then I have this one. So Single Mama Minimal Drama, where it is just me. And Hidden Gems was just me also. So Hidden Gems, if you go into Apple Podcasts, you can find Hidden Gems because it's still up. And it has 3 seasons, I think. And it has quite a few episodes. The catalog is pretty long. I have some really good guests on there if you're a small business owner and you want to go listen to it. But I did drop a little Easter egg, so it is coming back. But you guys are just going to have to wait on that and be excited. So if you are a Hidden Gems listener and you have decided to mosey your way on over to the Single Mama Minimal Drama podcast, then it's coming back. People ask me all the time still about that podcast. So it will be back. I really enjoyed that one. It was my baby, my podcast baby, and I just can't let it go. So it will be back. But yeah, that's why I was inspired to start just a podcast in general. This one, I was inspired because I was like, oh my God. Again, though, me wanting to share my knowledge and my journey with people who are going through these things, because I was just like, geez Louise, like, there are so many things about being a single mom or about going through a divorce or about understanding custody agreements and things like that, that I had no idea about until I went through them. And a lot of people, after they found out that I was going through a divorce, they would send me messages and ask me questions about it. A lot of women were sending me messages asking me questions about who I used, how I got through it, what was the... Somebody asked me, a couple of people asked me what my breaking point was in that marriage and all kinds of things. So it just really is about, for me, the podcast is about having a platform or creating a platform to share information and knowledge that I already... that I have had by learning through life. One of my friends was laughing at me the other day because I posted this, I reposted something that I saw on the internet, and it said, leave that toxic relationship before you become a motivational speaker. Somebody said, leave that toxic relationship before you become a motivational speaker. And listen, I'm on the road. I'm on the road to becoming a motivational speaker, baby. But I am happy to share my knowledge with you all so that you can make better choices. Okay? Okay. Let's see. Next question. The next question came from my personal page, and I'll never do this again. Y'all are childish. Somebody said, you got a man. If yes, can he fight? Y'all know how I feel about that. About sharing my life on the internet like that. I don't really be liking to tell my business. But the answer is, I feel like I should leave everybody on a cliffhanger. Just come back to it. The answer is, if I had a man, I would hope that he can fight. And if he can't fight, I will hope that he could shoot. But the answer is no. I do not have a man. Am I looking for a man? No. So that's two no's. No and no. Can I fight? Yes. Can I shoot? Yes. Do I want to do any of those things? No. That's the answer to the question. Next question. This is silly. Somebody's being silly asking these questions, talking about why these guys be trying to act like they know fighting when they get around women. First of all, if you know who Sam Wesson's dad is, you know that he was, or I don't know if he's still considered, or is a professional mixed martial artist. So... obviously, all those years that we were together, all I heard was fight, 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 fight. I learned how to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He used to train me just regular fighting. So, yes, I do know how to fight, and that's how I know how to fight. We used to do all kinds of stuff. Like, we used to, like, when I was doing jiu-jitsu, we would do live rolling at the end of classes. Me and him would be, we never really fully sparred, but I would spar and basically the other person's role in me sparring was for them to dodge my attacks, not for them to ever hit me. I know quite a bit about fighting. I'm saying that all that to say that I know quite a bit about fighting, about mixed martial arts, about Brazilian jiu-jitsu, about those things. And so when I hear men who have never fought talk about it, it is strange to me, because I'm like, oh, have you ever? No, but I just know what they should do. Oh, okay. And it's weird for me. It gives me a little headache. I don't know why they do that. I think for them, it's just kind of like okay, so there was this thing I saw on the internet. It says, ask any man that you know if he thinks he could land a plane. And they were saying, every man's going to say yes. I tried it. Every man that I asked said yes. They have no clue of what goes on in the cockpit of a plane, but they think they could land it, okay? So I think it's the same mentality when they're thinking about mixed martial arts. Like, some men also think that they can tell you how to fix things and they don't know how to fix things. Or they might tell you, like, you can't hang that up like that. And they don't know how to find the stud in the wall. So I don't know what it is. Is it a God complex? Is it testosterone? Is it, you know, I don't know. I don't know why they do that. I think for them, it's just like they want women to feel like they can feel safe maybe with them or protected, or feel like if somebody tried to fight them, that they would be able to hold their own. I really have no idea, but I think it is very funny. And I'm just, I don't want to hear you talk about fighting, honestly, unless you used to fight or unless you, you know, if you know a martial art, so it could even be Taekwondo, okay? I would listen to it because I'd be like, oh, he knows a little something. He might be able to give somebody a little 1-2. But if you are just a regular person talking to me about it, just please understand that I have a wealth of knowledge about mixed martial arts, about Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I got a little bit about Muay Thai in my brain and quite a bit about boxing. I'm listening to you, baby, but it's going in one ear and out the other, okay? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless you actually going to take me to the gym and show me. Because the other thing is, half the time, the people who do all that talking don't have the stamina to last 3 minutes in the ring. We have got to be more careful with what we're talking about. I don't talk about a lot of things that I don't know about. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with admitting that there are things that I don't know. I will Google something quickly. Get it on Google. But that is, I don't know why they do that. That's a silly question for that person to have asked. But it makes sense for that person. I think that was all the questions. Let me check. People love to send last minute questions, but I think that was all. Unless I missed the question. And then the next time y'all see me post to ask a question, then ask your questions. But seriously, follow me on Apple Music Apple Music. Follow my playlist. They're fun. They're funky and fresh. The last thing I want to say before we go, this is my little piece of advice. This one is for the men. We started off with a piece of advice for the women. We're going to end with a piece of advice for the men. Men, in your efforts to date women, and when you start getting serious, do not tell your new woman about all of the things that you did for your old woman. Okay. And I'm going to tell you this because if she hears you saying, oh, I did this, 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 and this for her, and she didn't appreciate it, and blah, 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 whatever y'all like to say. If you don't do those same types of things for that woman, she's going to be like, I don't think he really likes me because he did this. He took her here. He did this. He bought her this. And he doesn't really do any of those things for me. And it might not be that you don't like them. You might actually like that new woman way more than you like that old woman that you did all that stuff for. But you're not doing it because maybe you feel like you maybe learned a lesson. You want to take it a little slower now. You want to ease into things. Just don't even worry about it. Don't say what you did for that other woman. Just go ahead and do what you're going to do for this new woman. And don't say what you was doing for the last one. Okay. And I think that's all that I have today. Next week, I am going to have two very special guests, but we're going to have a very special announcement to make on that podcast or in that episode. It's going to be a very special episode, so I'm very excited. I'm not going to tell y'all who it is. I just really want y'all to tune in, be ready to laugh, be ready to be surprised. Be ready to get excited because that episode is going to be very fun. It's going to be very funky. It's going to be very fresh. Fun, funky, and fresh. It's alliteration. And that is all I have for today. Thanks to those of you who submitted your questions. Next time, I'm just going to leave the questions to the podcast listeners, though, not the people on my personal page, because y'all just want to know my personal life because y'all know I play on the internet. But yeah, y'all make sure y'all tune in next week for another episode. I hope y'all enjoyed me answering some of these questions. If you have any other questions you want to shoot me a DM about, feel free to do that. If you need to get in contact with Jaffe Law, no shame, shoot me a DM. I'll send you the information and tell them I sent you. And that is all I have for today. See you next episode.